The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
All right, here we go. Tuesday morning, it is a numbers game. I'm Jared Smith in for Gil Alexander. Today we are in downtown Las Vegas at the D. I'll be here today. I will be here tomorrow. Kelly Bidlin has been here all week. Kelly, how you doing this morning, pal?
I'm doing great. It's been a long week so far.
Tuesday, bud. It's only Tuesday, and it's supposed to be the All-Star break.
That's right.
Yeah, this is supposed to be our chill time. I said, what's an All-Star break on social media just now? Because we don't break. My plan was, like a month ago, before... You know, you don't really know what you're doing every week. And when you work in the freelance game like I do, you never know. You could have a show here, show there, do this. But my scheme, my plan was, All-Star break. I'm working hard during baseball season. Maybe I'll take a week off this week. Yeah, no, that didn't happen. that's usually when everyone else...
Yeah, too many other people have the same idea.
...takes a week off. And we're, as the B squad here, hey, listen, you get the call. Actually, no, it's on this side, the lefty. You call in the lefty... And here we are. So speaking of left-handed pitchers, we actually did see one in the All-Star in the Home Run Derby last night. You don't see left-handed pitchers too much in the Home Run Derby throwing to these guys. But that's where we'll start today. We got a great show booked for you. Drew Dinsick's going to come on in about 15 minutes. We're going to talk some NBA. We're going to talk some Olympics, too. And that's not something I expected to talk about today. But that is on the horizon. Tyler Shoemaker, of course, VSiN writer, is going to come on and talk a little WNBA at the top of our next hour. And then at the bottom of our next hour, Brian Lendike? Did I get that right?
Byron Lindekew.
I'm glad I asked you that on air. I should have asked you that off air. Byron Lindekew, host of the Back Nine Bets podcast, of course. It is championship week.
That's right. Busy golf week, yep.
Yeah, we're going to have to wake up early. That's the one thing about the European tournaments, not only the Euro, which we just had, which was a little bit more, I would say, Pacific time zone friendly. This tournament this week across
this
the pond.
Not,
this
yeah.
one is not Pacific time zone friendly. I think there might be a night, probably on Friday, where I might just not go to bed.
Yeah, I mean, it depends what your schedule is, right? Like if you don't have to wake up early in the morning, unlike us.
Saturday is a tough one. Maybe Saturday night into Sunday. Maybe that is when I will catch the whole kit and caboodle Sunday morning, of course, because that's the final round. But I digress. We'll get Byron's thoughts. We'll get Kelly's thoughts, of course, does a great job on the Long Shots podcast as well. We got a lot of golf to talk about this week. But let's start with baseball. I know it's the All-Star break. Let's start with what we saw last night. Let's start with the direct result the morning after the Home Run Derby. I'll be honest, I think on a scale of 1 to 10, and I've been a Home Run Derby fan for – probably since I was a kid. I don't remember the ones in the 90s. I think the early 2000s. I think Josh Hamilton, I want to say, in the 2008 range. I want to say that was the first one. I was like, wow, this event's freaking awesome. It wasn't awesome last night. It was not at that level. It wasn't even at the level it was last year when Julio Rodriguez in the first round cracked 40 dingers. I don't think anyone hit more than 21 in the first round. I actually think Alec Bohm, who was the long shot of the whole night, had the most in the first round. That's kind of the night it was. I'm not going to be this old man yelling at the cloud saying, oh, well, back in my day, they did it this way. But they've made so many tweaks to the rules over the last 5 to 10 years. It's really hard to kind of get a grasp of it. I do think there's betting value. Teoscar Hernandez won, and he was about 12, 13 to 1. I did a thread yesterday on social media going through all the pitchers that we're going to be throwing to the hitters in the Home Run Derby. Of all of the pitchers, Teoscar had the most experienced one, Dino Abel, who threw to Vladimir Guerrero, threw to Albert Pujols with the Angels, who threw to Jock Peterson with the Dodgers. The guys that were kind of the middle-of-the-pack pitchers who didn't have a ton of experience didn't fare as well. I thought Bobby Witt was fortunate to get into the final. He had some lefty throwing at him who was like curveball after curveball and then slider, splitter. Like, it feels like, though, the way this tournament, the way this Home Run Derby has evolved, it's getting harder to find value because of the new rules. It's getting a little bit harder to kind of sift through some of the new rules and just figure out what the heck is going on. I think on a scale of 1 to 10, to go back to my original point, it was like a 5 last night.
Yeah, Ben and I were sitting here yesterday talking about a lot of the new rules, and I think, just even looking back, I still think I like the changes, But as you and I were talking a little bit before the show, it should, man, it's become a lot. Like, it's
Eduardo
just...
Perez, the guy in the broadcast, didn't even know the rules of the bonus round until about halfway through. He kept saying, oh, well, if he gets this 440 or 425 foot, he gets the bonus. And Carl Ravitch's like, no, that's not how it works. Like, and that's a problem. Like, when the broad, and I'm not saying maybe he should have been a little more brushed up on the rules, but it was a little bit convoluted. It was not as cut and dry as it's been in years past. And I think the more they change it, the harder it is for people to kind of get into a routine with the rules.
Yeah.
If it changes every year, it just it kind of lessens a little bit of it.
No, I think you're right. And again, I think I actually liked all of them. But it is, I think at the end of the day, when you're seeing people struggle to figure them out on the broadcast, it's like, are we maybe doing too much for something we call a home run derby?
I think
where the point
is
just to hit a bunch of home runs.
Like. You nailed it. Doing too much. And I get accused of this all the time because we all try to do too much at some point in our lives. Like, we all want to overachieve. We all want to look good in the eyes of our employer, of our girlfriend, of our friends, whatever. And we kind of do too much. I think there's going to come a point where maybe, hopefully, we just decide on a set of rules and let that be, like, at least give it a few years. It does seem like every year they change it. But congratulations to Teoscar Hernandez. I think it was, I don't want to say the right result, but he was a guy that had a lot of buzz coming into the season, has had a really good year with the Dodgers. I think other than Shohei, with Mookie Betts being hurt, Teoscar Hernandez is one of the more important players in that Dodgers lineup, and he really showed off his skills last night. It was not a very high-flying home run derby. We did not have a lot of memorable performances.
Yeah, I mean, it was a great ending, though, right?
The ending was good because Bobby Witt came like 6 feet away from tying it up. And we did have a swing-off. I bet this yes on the swing-off last night almost 4-1.
Oh, okay, nice.
So that was a good result. I bet Teoscar to make the semis. I really like Teoscar. The analysis I did yesterday on the pitchers, I really thought Teoscar was a guy
who was going to
overachieve. Yep. That's fantastic. So, again, it was an entertaining night. I do like the home run derby. I think I like it more because it's my first night in like 4 months where I don't have to worry about baseball games.
You don't got to candy cap a bunch of games.
And I'm just kind of kicking my feet up, and I'm like, oh, this is nice. Let him hit a bunch of home runs. And then today, don't have to, reset and do it all over again because now we get a nice little break. And that's kind of where the conversation moves now into tonight. We do have a game on the docket. It's not like we're completely devoid of baseball tonight. It's our last baseball game until Friday. The American League, the National League, the All-Star game. I struggle handicapping this game. I'm always transparent with you. I thought the home run derby last night, I did see value. I bet Alonso. That didn't go too well. But I also bet Hernandez. I thought there was value. I think because of the nuances, not only the psychological nuances with performing in a home run derby, but some of the things that are important, like who's throwing to you and the rules. I think there's a value proposition with the derby. I don't believe that in the All-Star game. I honestly don't. I think because of all the moving parts with the rosters, you don't know who's pitching when. You don't know who's leaving the game when. Right. I think that makes this All-Star game the hardest to bet on. I think the NBA All-Star game is a little bit easier to bet on. Obviously, you're not betting on the hockey All-Star game. Obviously, the Pro Bowls, forget about that. Of the two All-Star games, I actually think this is the tougher of the two.
Yeah, it's. I think they're both pretty comparable.
They
though.
Are. Like, they're both tough. I think this one's a little tougher.
Well, I think like the All-Star weekends in general, right? Like, I think I like throwing a couple bets in on the home run derby. I like throwing a couple bets in on the three-point contest.
Yep.
I do think there are handicapping angles to them at least a little bit.
Dunk contest, not so much anymore.
Dunk contest, I stay away from.
It's being decided by voters.
Yeah, and a lot of people just don't even hang odds on it anymore, right?
I agree.
But, yeah, the games, man, are tough. The games are tough, even though, like, Ben brought up, 13-3 to the under, I believe, in the last 16.
Yeah, that's been a good angle.
You have the AL has won 27 of the last 35. Like, what? Like, it's almost
and
amazing
the
to me the trends
is
are this
favored tonight on DraftKings. They're about a -120 favorite. Nats, or the Nats, the National
League.
The Nats. They're even odds, basically, +102. Total sitting at 7.5. Yeah, I mean, I think if you bet the under, I'm assuming that's where most of the public is probably lying today, which means it's probably not a fair number. Let's check. I did get some betting splits this morning. Yeah, the Nerfy's the most popular bet on the board at MGM. That doesn't surprise me. Otani and Judge to hit a home run. Those are very popular bets. Paul Skeens to have two or more strikeouts in the first inning. That is a very popular bet. I think the Skeens one's interesting because you think he might actually come back for the second inning. That would be intriguing to me if they do run him out there for another inning. Usually it's been one inning for each pitcher.
Yeah, that's a big question.
If I recall, if I recall correctly, there has been years where the starter's gone two innings. I might be wrong on that. I don't remember what happened last year. We've had a lot of baseball games since then. But Paul Skeens, but it's really hard to bet props in this game. Like Otani's plus 450 to a home run. He might get two at bats. Plus 450 to a home run. Like he's usually around a 2 or 3 to 1, you know, shot to hit a homer. So now you're betting plus 450 and he might get two at bats. Like and he could get pitched around. Like it just like to me, those are bets that I don't have a whole lot of interest in making. Yes, the under is getting most of the handle tonight. I think the American League, if you had to ask me which team has the better roster, I think I would lean American League, especially the starting lineup. I think the American League has the better starting lineup. I think the National League might be a little bit better on the bench. I think the National League is a little bit younger. I think they might be a little bit hungrier. I remember there was a big streak where one of the leagues had like a really long streak that was just ended recently. It's not a bet I'm going to be interested in making. It's not a game I'm really interested in betting on, but we will briefly touch on it a little bit later on in the show. All right, coming up next, we do have bets to make in the NBA. We do have bets to make in the Olympics. Drew Dinsick, Whale Capper, coming up next on the other side of Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Oh, get ready to win big this NFL season with a VSiN Pro subscription. Sign up for our football special before the end of this month. You'll get full VSiN Pro access from now through the Super Bowl with an early bird discounted rate of $175. Saves you nearly 50% off the monthly price. With VSiN Pro, you'll gain access to our daily best bets, betting splits, betting systems, everything betting related, analysis from pro handicappers, 24/7 video content, and our special betting guides. Expert insights, in-depth coverage, keep you informed, help you make smarter bets throughout the season. Don't wait. Sign up before the end of this month. Get full VSiN Pro access through the Super Bowl for an early bird discount of $175. Sign up now, VSiN.com/subscribe. All right, a numbers game returns here on Tuesday morning, the morning after the Home Run Derby, the day of the Major League Baseball All-Star game. But let's put all that to the side for a minute because we have some NBA to talk about. And for that, of course, we bring in our pal Drew Dinsick, analyst for NBC Sports Edge and the Deep Dive podcast. Follow him on social media at @whale_capper. Drew, it's great to talk to you, pal. I feel like we're kind of in that zone where you're excited about the NBA. We're getting some numbers for win totals. We're trying to figure out what's going on in Summer League. It's that weird postseason no calm after the storm. I mean, it just seems like the season continues as the NBA here in Vegas. It's been an exciting week so far in Summer League.
For sure. And, you know, I think there's been a little bit of a change in my opinion of how the conferences are imbalanced. I'm outside of what the Thunder have done. I'm not impressed whatsoever with any of the contenders in the West. And so what looked like it was going to be a wide open, very difficult to handicap and fun to enjoy seeing it play out, Western conferences. Now, all of a sudden, you know, I think a lot of the very good teams have gotten a bit weaker. I can very clearly see that the win totals reflect my expectations that you have a number one with a bullet in the Celtics in the East, a number one with an advantage in Thunder in the West, and then a little bit of a miasma after that. Not a clear and obvious stratification between the Knicks and the Sixers, which is interesting. I personally would put the Sixers higher in terms of championship equity, but lower in terms of regular season expectations. And that's kind of where they're sitting. So I think that's reasonably fair. Still a lot of what do you call it? I guess maybe respect for the Bucks. Putting the Bucks in the 50 win category still is interesting to me. I mean, they should have a healthier season, you would think, from their two stars. But that rest of that roster is getting older, and they didn't really get any support. So that's kind of fascinating. And then the Mavericks are rounding out the expected 50 win teams. Isn't a huge surprise. There's no catching the books sleeping here. The Magic in the 47.5 range was a number that I was excited to see where that opened. That looks pretty fair. The Grizzlies in the 46.5 range, like, all right, we're not getting any freebies this year in the win total market from what I can tell so far. And I think it's really just going to come down to, if you can, just find a little bit of imbalance in terms of division and schedule strength and things like that. Maybe the only way to pick on these.
Yeah. And that's interesting because, what did we just see? We just saw the Thunder overachieve a little bit in the playoffs. And I'll be honest, I was surprised to see them at the top of the Western Conference. And we've seen that number move up since it opened. I remember 54.5, and now we're seeing 55.5. Is that trend going to continue? Is Oklahoma City really worthy of this perch heading into the season?
Yeah, I mean, it's a double-edged sword. They got better and everybody else got a little worse. And I think it is recency bias. I will admit that I was caught up in how good they looked, particularly down the end of the regular season, securing the one seed and then dominating in round one of the playoffs. It was all just sort of confirmation of, this young core is legit, and now they've gotten their, playoff experience under their belt, and they have a young nucleus that is, not just dynamic in terms of the way they can both attack and defend, but, just in general, deep, young, healthy, and they've added to some of their strengths to kind of give them even more, dynamic looks. So, amazing coach with Mark Degenau, really, really smart front office, an analytically sound team. They kind of check all the boxes in terms of the types of shots they go for, the types of shots that they avoid, and with respect to what is high efficiency and plus EV kind of philosophy. And I honestly can't say a bad thing about the Thunder, and I think realistically the West goes through them this year.
Yeah, I mean, it is a lot of respect. Boston right now in terms of the futures market sitting at the top, but Oklahoma City in the Western Conference is right there 8-1 to win the NBA title. Do you think their roster, the way it's constructed, are they mature enough to make a run through the playoffs? Because win total is one thing, but now they have that playoff experience, and in terms of what the futures market's telling us, they're just a step ahead of the Nuggets right now.
Yeah, it is a perfect roster in terms of playoff defense. The question kind of becomes, can they do a little bit better in terms of generating easy looks in the offense, on the offensive side of the ball, in a playoff setting? We saw their offense get wildly stagnant against the Mavericks at times, as they had, Lu Dort kind of occupying the dunker spot and, mucking up spacing. And I don't know if that will be just sort of lesson learned for Degenau, or if the, the players that they have now mean that they can just kind of put more dynamic lineups out there. But, my guess is that the Thunder are going to be a bet on in every playoff series and in every kind of in the futures market, because people, I think, are going to be a little bit hesitant to believe that SGA can be sort of the best player in a series, the best player on a championship team. Like, people saw Luka Doncic go toe to toe with him and take him down, and they're going to assume that Nikola Jokic is going to do that. They're going to assume that, fill in the blank, like, superstar name brand player is going to get the better of SGA just because, he doesn't have sort of the headline name appeal that a lot of the other stars do. And I think that that could change this year.
Drew, just, going back to these win totals quick, I feel like last year when these opened, in the past couple of years, there's definitely been two or three that I kind of ran out and bet right away. I think I'm picking up that vibe from you already that I'm not really feeling the same way this year. A lot of the numbers felt very on point from what we saw from DraftKings. We're still waiting on some other books to open. Do you think you'll be betting one or two of these right away when you see them open elsewhere, or not really?
There's a couple at the bottom that I like the unders.
Okay.
My lowest projected win total last year and my biggest difference, my biggest delta was the Pistons.
Oh, wow.
They were like, I want to say it was like they were in the 20s.
27 and a half. I bet them over. Yeah. Didn't work out.
Oh,
well.
No. Oh, no, Kelly. I was projecting them for 14 wins, and I was like, I must have a bust in my coat, in my calc here. Like, how did I get to this far off the number? And I'm looking at the same sort of situation here with a number of these teams at the bottom, most notably the Wizards and the Nets. And
wow.
I honestly, like, these are not really, these are G League teams, you know, in general. And, you know, maybe some of the, maybe a guy like Sar really does kind of have the goods to show up and play well right away enough to kind of get you a couple extra wins. But 22 and a half is a big number. They just traded away their best player.
Yeah.
Denny Avdija is not on the Wizards anymore. Did you guys know that?
And their best player is Denny Avdija.
22. Yeah. Number one, that was their best player. Number two, he's not there anymore. So, like, yeah, I think ultimately, like, the Wizards at 22 and a half seems absurd to me. I think just in general, you know, I'm not including the Trailblazers in my list of pessimism. I think that team is better than people realize. But, you know, there is a number of squads here towards the bottom that I don't think we've got right.
Yeah, the Wizards under, I think we had Nick Whalen on the show yesterday from RotoWire on one of the other shows on the network, and he was very, very high, or I guess low on the Wizards, high on the win total going under. Before we let you go, Drew, the Olympics, it is a bettable event. It's something that I think it's super niche. Like, you've really got to do your research because there's no stats available. Like, you've got to, like, really understand the field. But tennis is your thing. They are playing tennis in the Olympics, and you think maybe the Wimbledon champion, Carlos Alcaraz, might be a little mispriced.
Yeah, that one was a weird one. So if you didn't already know, the Olympics this summer are in Paris, and the tennis will be – tennis and boxing, interestingly enough, will be contested at Roland Garros.
Awesome.
And Roland Garros, of course, the home of the French Open. I don't know, about a month ago, we saw Alcaraz win Roland Garros convincingly while playing at about 75% of his peak level, which he showed very clearly at Wimbledon. And so I'm kind of scratching my head as to how you could have anywhere close to the similar price that Alcaraz went off French Open as he is currently lined right now to win gold medal at the Olympics. Cause, you know, now that he's healthy, now that he's kind of got his, in, you know, his full arsenal of weapons, I think he should be closer to pick him in this one. Like, Iga is -190, not a lot of value on the women's side, but Alcaraz should kind of be in that same discussion considering how well he's playing right now.
Drew Dinsick, fantastic stuff. Follow him on Twitter @whale_cap. Appreciate the time, pal.
Best of luck, man.
A numbers game continues after this.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Last hour, best hour here on A Numbers Game. I'm Jared Smith. Excited to be with you live from the D in downtown Las Vegas. Kelly Bidlin along with us as well. And joining us now, very excited to talk to this man. He was just in town a couple weeks ago. Now he's back in his home perch. Tyler Shoemaker, VSiN writer and contributor. Follow him on social media @TShoeIndex. Hope it was if you stayed cool, I hope it was a fun trip for you here in town, Tyler.
I had a great time. It was not cool by any means, but it was a great time.
You were cool, but the temperatures certainly were not. The temperatures have been risen in the WNBA of late. We are approaching the Olympic break, which is a very nice little breather for, I'm sure, you cooking up these numbers every day, but also just the players who won't be participating in the Olympics. I believe it's a full month off, right? I think it's starting this week, and then they did a full month off for the Olympics, right?
Yep. So there's games today and tomorrow, and then we're off for a month, which, like you said, I am grateful for, so I can kind of work on some football stuff as well in the meantime.
Yeah, no rest for the weary. All right, let's get into today's games because you have an article up on VSiN.com right now, best bets and projections for today's games. There are three of them. We will start with the Mystics and the Mercury. Looks like the Mercury, about a 4.5-point road favorite here. What are the numbers telling you?
Yeah, I play the Mystics here. The Mercury really need this break. They are not playing well over the last few games. They've also been dealing with some injuries. I only project the Mercury as about a half point favorite here. I'll project the total at about 167.5. So again, I like the Mystics plus the points here.
Yeah, I haven't paid too much attention to the Mystics this year. I have watched some of the Mercury games because they played some pretty high-profile matchups there. The total sitting 169, little juice to the over. Anything intrigue you on the total in that game?
Not currently, but if it's going to continue to go up, I may end up getting involved with the under.
Good stuff. All right, let's move on to the Storm and the Sparks. Seattle's a big favorite here on the road. LA's obviously struggled this year. They're one of the worst teams in the WNBA, especially defensively. I'm sure it hasn't gotten any better since Cameron Brink got hurt. But the Storm, again, laying a pretty big number on the road here. What do you think?
Yeah, this is kind of a tale of teams going in different directions. Like you said, the Sparks are just... After Cameron Brink went down, their defense completely went down the toilet. The Storm, on the other hand, are kind of surging right now over their last 3 to 5 games. So I only project this at Storm minus 5.5. But looking at the more recent games, that number would go up to about 8.5, 9, which is where the market has been on this. So I don't really have a strong play here. I wouldn't want to bet against the Storm in this spot. I do like the under. It's kind of bounced around 162, 163 here this morning already. I would like it anything under like 161. I would probably play it.
Is it hard when you have a player like Cameron Brink to reassess your numbers after she gets hurt? You know, the Sparks haven't been a very good team this year, but she's so important to them. Is that been a difficult adjustment for you?
Yeah, well, and the even harder thing, I think, was to really get a gauge of her value because she didn't really play all that many games. So trying to take that small sample size and then figure out what she was worth and then project out the rest of the season, you know, without her in the lineup, that definitely has been difficult. So it's been hard to get a handle on the Sparks from a power rating standpoint.
On the Progressive guest line, it's Tyler Shoemaker, VSiN writer, contributor, does a fantastic job handicapping the WNBA. Follow him on social media at @TShoeIndex. Let's continue with today's card. The Chicago Sky and the Las Vegas Aces. This one's going to be fun. You get Asia Wilson, you get Angel Reese, it arguably two of the best bigs in the WNBA. Obviously, the Aces are a big favorite at home here in Vegas. What does your number say?
Yeah, I wrote about this today. I think Angel Reese has to look at Asia Wilson and think, that's what I could be in a perfect world. Like, if everything clicks and Angel Reese develops her skills, like, Asia Wilson would be, like, the perfect outcome for an Angel Reese athlete profile. As far as this game goes, again, the Aces are really surging right now. I mean, since they got Chelsea Gray back in the lineup, they've either not lost or only lost one. They've been playing great. I project them a 13-point favorite. I've only got the total at 166.5, though. I bet it at 171 earlier this morning, and then it's already shot up a couple more points beyond that. So I really like the under. I don't agree with the market move here on this total. The Aces defense of late has really come along, so I really like the under here.
Do you notice, and you know, you pay really close attention to these markets, is it usually side or total that has the biggest movements on a day-to-day basis? And do you tend to see the market move in the favor of where your number is, or do you see a lot of value when your numbers kind of go in a different direction?
I would say definitely totals move more. I think you'll see more fluctuation on the totals than the sides. As far as whether they move in my direction or not, I mean, I would say 70% of the time they move in my direction. But as we know, the WNBA market is not a very efficient market.
Nope.
So, you know, because of lower limits and things like that, books are responding to less credible information, you know, via bets from the bettors. And so you'll see lines move a couple points, you know, in my opinion, in the wrong direction.
Yeah, I think the WNBA is one of those markets that I would call it evolving. And I'm really interested to see how this new influx of attention, money, all of those things from this Caitlin Clark bonanza we are currently going through have an impact long-term on the market. Before we let you go, I do want to ask you very briefly about the futures market, it, not necessarily on the team side, but on the player side. We were talking about the Angel Reese, Caitlin Clark Rookie of the Year debate. It feels like a political debate. It feels like a presidential election, with Angel Reese now being the big underdog and Caitlin Clark being obviously the big favorite. But you think maybe that gap should be a little bit tighter?
Yeah, I do. I mean, Caitlin's having a great season. And again, I wrote about this at VSiN last week. Do I think Caitlin Clark's a better basketball player than Angel Reese? Yes, 100%. Obviously, she can shoot better, dribble better, pass better, all of those things. That being said, Angel Reese, I mean, her value to her team, I've got her worth about 2.5 points to the spread. I've got Caitlin worth about a point to the spread right now. Angel's having a great season. I don't think she should be 6-1. I think that should be much shorter. So, you know, I think if you wanted to get involved in that market, I think Angel Reese would be the play at plus 600.
See, that's interesting to me, Kelly. I don't know if you feel the same way, but when I watch those two players, Caitlin Clark being worth less against the spread to Angel Reese, I think that would surprise some people.
Yeah,
what do you think?
I mean, I haven't watched a ton this season, but man, every time I turn on, both those teams, I mean, I see it with Angel Reese. I mean, she's been a double-double machine. Like, I get it. Like, Caitlin Clark's, I think it's something special with Caitlin Clark, too. We talked about it a lot at the beginning of the season. It's very clear that teams are out to hunt her a little bit.
Yes.
with her coming out onto the scene. So that doesn't surprise me. It really doesn't surprise me. I also don't know if there's any way Caitlin Clark's losing that award with how much when we talk about voters, right? And it's their opinion on this stuff.
I think the politics nature of this award will keep me away from it, Tyler. But I agree with your premise.
6-1 feels long. Yeah.
6-1 feels a little bit long. But then I keep going back to this word that I use a lot. You guys use it in the golf world, win equity.
Yeah.
Like, I think the 6-1 actually feels short compared to what her win equity actually is. Because to be fair, I haven't handicapped the votership in the WNBA like I've done votership in the NBA and in Major League Baseball, where I feel like I have a better grasp on what the voters respond to. I have no idea what the voters are going to respond to this year. Tyler, it feels very political, and it almost feels like a point where just because Angel Reese is worth more against the spread, which I agree with that sentiment, but I don't know if that's going to resonate at all with the voters, which is why I struggle with getting to the window on her.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree. This definitely feels political, you know, in the sense that I don't think any numbers or data presented is going to change someone's mind one way or the other. I think you think what you think, and you're going to stick to that. I think people are pretty stubborn in this debate, as they are with politics in this country. So I definitely agree with that. I don't know that any amount of data is going to sway someone one way or the other.
Speaking of data, have you noticed anything intriguing in the prop market in the WNBA this year? I know that market has evolved considerably. Is that something you're ever interested in getting involved in, or do you think the sides and the totals, because of how you bake your numbers, is kind of what you want to focus on?
So early in the season, I was playing quite a few props. I have a pretty reliable site. I don't personally make prop projections, but I have a pretty reliable site that I use. And early in the season, I was able to find some huge edges, and that has pretty much gone away. I mean, I was getting like 25-30% edges. Now the most I'll see on a day is like 4.5, maybe 6. So I've really laid off the props here lately and just stuck to the sides and totals, because the model's been pretty good at projecting those.
The model is modeling, as they say. Tyler Shoemaker, fantastic work, my friend. VSiN writer, contributor at T-Shoe Index is where you can find him on social media. Enjoy your, I guess I'll call it an Olympic break, but I know you're going to be working during that break, so you're not going to be taking a whole lot of time off.
No, absolutely. I'm working on transitioning my numbers to a new website, so that's a whole undertaking in and of itself.
It seems like the model is also modeling on a different website as well. Great stuff, Tyler. I appreciate the time, pal. We'll talk again soon.
All right. Thanks, guys. See ya.
Yeah. If you don't follow Tyler and you are not familiar with what he does, not only in the WNBA world, just wait for college football.
Yeah.
He was unbelievable last year with his college football numbers. All of a sudden, we had this new resource that we could rely on to kind of cross-reference things. And you know, the college football rating services, there's a lot of really good ones out there. Tyler's was really unique last year.
Yeah,
he had some spots last year that you didn't think were going to be there, and they were. Long story short, follow him, support him, look at his work on VSiN.com. It's fantastic. I want to get to the window on Angel Reese, but I can't do it.
I'm glad you circled back on this.
I can't do it.
I don't even like throw the whole political conversation out the window. So much
politics
involved. But throw that out for a second. This is the isn't this Victor Wembanyama all over again? Like, on December 1st, he was not the rookie of the year in the NBA. He wasn't. Chet Holmgren was beating him out in everything that you would look at. But, like, was there ever a chance he wasn't going to win the award? And I just think that's Caitlin Clark all over again.
I think
and Adrienne's been amazing. It does not surprise me at all that Tyler's numbers say she's worth more to a spread than Caitlin Clark.
I'll be honest, the entire interview we just did with Tyler, that was the most informative part. Mm-hmm. That was really, really informative. And it kind of shows you what the actual odds makers think of the Caitlin Clark Angel Reese debate. All right, we're back on the other side. More baseball on Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, we roll on. We're going to get Byron Lindekue coming up in just a bit. He's in the queue. But I want to finish the thought on Max Scherzer because I do think Texas is going to move him. I honestly do. So he's an unrestricted free agent at the end of the year, which means he's a rental, which means he's going to be a very cheap addition for one of these teams. And I absolutely can see him getting moved. That's why I'm out on Texas. And I think that is a big part to the futures market in baseball you need to take into account. You need to be sure before you bet on a team that they are not going to sell. I was worried that Houston might sell before the deadline, but they kind of turned things around. And I think they are back on track. The rest of the futures markets on the divisional side, National League, no value in the East. The Phillies are going to run away with this thing. I love the Braves. I think they have a chance to compete once we get to October because their rotation's very good at the top. But I am not very high on them overtaking the Phillies in the National League East. The Brewers and the Cardinals are another very intriguing bet in the National League Central. Cardinals are right there. I mean, they are basically three games back in the loss column heading into the All-Star break. And I do think Milwaukee could be four games back, but I do think Milwaukee is a little bit vulnerable, and I could see St. Louis making up that ground. National League West, not very intriguing, frankly. The Dodgers and the Padres are going to be battling it out, but I think the Dodgers are a cut above. Kelly, do we have Byron for us?
Byron's good to go.
All right. Joining us now on the Progressive Guest Line, Byron Lindekue, host of the Back Nine Bets podcast, senior contributor at Rotoballers PGA website. We're very excited to have you on, Byron, because I have not done any. I'm relying on people like Kelly, people like you, to get me up to speed on what we are going to see at the British Open across the pond this week. So the floor is yours. First, break down the course for us, sir.
Well, the course is going to be quite interesting because difficult section. Then if the wind picks up, we're in trouble because wherever that comes from, it's going to be all over the place. So it may be like my signal right now. I think I'm lagging a touch. Apologies for that, but it's going to play difficult. It's going to play easy. I think you're going to have to do a lot of variations when you're trying to win this golf tournament this year.
Yeah, Byron, for people handicapping right now, because I get asked this a lot too, we know weather's going to be a factor at some point. It's very hard on Tuesday morning right now to predict exactly when that's going to come, especially when we're talking Scotland. What do you suggest to people out there trying to break this down? We got tee times today, so you know when guys are going off out there. Everybody's going to start on hole one. That is something to keep in mind for the Open as they go through just the course of the day with all the daylight out there. What's your best piece of advice for people trying to handicap right now with the wind? Is it look at a weather forecast and make your bets now, or is it wait a little bit here?
I've been keeping track of the weather since Monday morning, and it's not the same anytime I post another screenshot in there. So I would suggest waiting until Wednesday evening if you're in the States to kind of do what you need to do. But, you know, obviously content creators have to pop out some things out there and kind of give some suggestions. So we can kind of look at our favorite bets that I got my eye on, so to speak, before we go into all of that stuff. But yeah, I definitely say the weather this week is one of the most important aspects of this tournament, for sure.
Weather seems like with this tournament every year, there's always a curveball that gets thrown into the mix. Is there a player, or I guess someone maybe at the top of the market, that is immune to the conditions? Or is every player kind of in the same boat where they are just at the mercy of the gods?
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that is the hardest to kind of quantify, is there's no real like stats that prove how good you are in the wind. But sometimes looking at like Justin Thomas, for instance, He's exceptional in the wind when it comes to ball flight and controlling his trajectory, but yet his translation to open championships has been rather poor. I don't think he's got a top 10 at this tournament in his career, so tough scenes for him. But guys like Brian Harman, we've got a good, gritty, blue-collar mentality that can kind of just tough it out for four straight days, or guys that make sense. Sometimes the short hitters typically thrive in the wind because their ball flight's lower. At the top of the board, I think, you know, Ludwig, I think John Rahm, I think Rory, obviously at single bullet range at 8-1 there is an option as well. So just there's a multitude of dudes, and I think you just got to try to find your favorite and guys that model out well for you.
Byron, I think this tournament unique in the sense that it's not always the chalky, right? Like usually when we think of the major, especially the Masters, it's hard to come from outside of, let's say, the top 10, top 20 on the odds board and win that thing. But last year, Brian Harman was, what, 100-1, something in that range? Like because of the volatility involved with this tournament, with the weather, with the course changing every year, does it lend to more long shot opportunities?
Yes, in a way. I will say that the volatility that you're speaking about is true, but from a trend perspective, since 2012, nobody with the finish worse than second in a prior major has won the Open Championship. So you have to have finished second or first in a prior major to get yourself into the mix for the Open Championship and to win it. No one has done anything worse than a second. So it's very, very important to have a major pedigree. It doesn't matter which major, in my opinion, as long as you've contended or won one in the past.
Love it. All right, Byron, set us up with your card here. Who are you targeting to win? Who are you targeting to finish high? Matchups, whatever is on your docket for this week.
Yes. So as I said earlier, I have not bet too many bets yet. I do have two outright so far. Will Zalatoris at 220-1. He's a major dog. I mean, when it comes to him playing good golf, it happens at the majors. I understand his track record's quite poor right now. That's okay. He's 220-1. I'll take a sprinkle. Wyndham Clark has been around that 80-1, 60-1 range. I jumped in on 80. I think he's also one of the guys I wasn't too worried about the wave advantage at that number. And then Cam Smith is minding his business at 50 and 60-1. I think these are all very nice guys at very nice numbers to kind of start your card with. You can still probably play a Rory if you've gone with those three guys too. So I think I'll be looking at Rory. I think I'll be looking at Ludwig and kind of just paying attention to how the weather unfolds as tomorrow comes closer to us. But Tom Kim as well is another guy I'm really in the mood to play. He finished second at the Open Championship here last year. He's sitting outside that 40-1 range as well. And I mean, he notched that second place finish we were talking about. So youngsters got that major pedigree coming through.
220-1 on Zalatoris. Kelly, that number jumps out at me. What do you think?
Yeah, he's I think as Byron's talking about, he's isolated a few guys where if you have the ability, as Byron said, some of us have to create content, so we've got to make some of these bets earlier. But if you have the ability to wait till tomorrow night to make your bets, what you want to do now is what he's talking about, is bet some of these guys that you know are only going to get shorter. I mean, Zalatoris, definitely some injury concerns. I mean, you can't know for sure, but at a number like that, it's hard to argue with. It's hard to argue with any of Byron's picks because he's only isolating guys whose numbers are getting shorter from the Open to where they're at now.
Byron Lindekew, host of the Back Nine Bets podcast, senior contributor to Roto Ballers PGA coverage. Great stuff as always, Byron. I guess we'll let you go with this. Scottie Scheffler and Rory McIlroy sitting at the top of the market. If you had to put one of those two chalky picks on your card this week, which of the two top favorites do you prefer?
I will take Rory, just based off the number, based off the track record at majors, at the Open Championship. Scottie's only played three of these, and his best finish is an eighth. You know, Rory's won one of these in the past and had multiple runner-up finishes recently. So I like Rory McIlroy at a golf course that should suit his driving ability.
What do you think?
I like it. I think at those odds, I would probably lean Rory myself as well. Yep.
Rory McIlroy 8-1. I'll be honest, the Zalatoris number, I'm going to go hunting in the bargain basement to try to find a good number on Will Zalatoris. Byron, I appreciate the time, pal. I'm not sure what time zone you're in. For us here in the Pacific time zone, it's going to be a very early week. I hope you have a better sleep cycle planned for the Royal Troon experience we are going to have this week.
middle of the cornfield here in Central Standard Time in Iowa are not going to be treating me much different to what the West Coast doing for you boys. So we'll be grinding the coffee and having a good time just watching late night golf.
Thank you so much
for having me on.
Yeah, of course, Byron. Great stuff as always, pal. Really good to talk to you. Of course, that's Byron Lindekew, host of the Back Nine Bets podcast. I'm going to be loading up on the coffee and caffeine. I think Friday night is going to be my toughest one because Saturday morning I have a really early show. So yeah, I'm going to have to wake up really early on Saturday. I'm not going to watch Thursday, although I'll be up for the first round at the end. I'll watch a little bit of the first round leader vibes. Do you have any first round leader bets you thinking?
Man, I see that's that for me, that's the ultimate.
I love
check
the, first round
check the weather and for me yeah. to wait. That is the like we've got podcasts to do. I can use that as an excuse. It's not an excuse though. Like this is there's a lot of bets like Byron. If I wasn't creating content every day, basically talking golf, I'd probably be approaching it like he is. Doesn't mean we don't still have guys that are circled, right, that we plan on betting, and you just kind of want to make sure they're not going to get the worst of the weather. But as Byron said early, this forecast is constantly changing, and every year you watch the Open, it changes from what you think it's going to be Wednesday night to what it actually plays out like over the weekend. So there is a, you know, we talk about this a lot of times in betting, right, Jared? There's paralysis by overanalysis. Don't let that get you. If there is a guy or two that you like this week, there's a couple. I bet Morikawa already. I love Morikawa this week. And if you get bit by the weather, it happens. But a lot of that is very, very difficult to figure out exactly when that weather is going to affect your golf.
Volatility, thy name is Royal Troon.
Yep.
Exciting stuff. I will be watching this week. Sleep deprived. But I still will be watching. All right, we'll wrap up the show on the other side. A numbers game live on VSiN.